The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Everyone, I don't know about you, Jeff, but that always makes me feel like marching right there at the end.
It does. Yeah. You're talking to a band geek there.
Right? It makes me feel like getting a tuba and just, you know, marching along. although I played the flute in high school, so I'd be... There's no flute in that, though, right?
No.
Okay, so I'm Karen, the Scarlet Cougar.
Yay, she's back!
I am, I'm back!
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And welcome to Gotham Undercover. I am back. Thank you very much. This is episode 75. We're part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover. That's G-O-T-H-A-M, Undercover. I might as well spell it. I spell out Made of Steel, so.
Yeah, there you go.
So tell us about the episode we'll be talking about tonight, Jeff.
Stop hitting yourself.
I actually put a link to the TV Tropes page for Stop Hitting Yourself because it's such a huge part of pop culture. Mm-hmm. If you don't know about it, then you don't. But, I mean, it's everywhere. It's so pervasive. It was a part of a Simpsons episode. It's been in movies, video games, television shows, anime, comics. I mean, it's almost everywhere. There's something that has to do with a stop hitting yourself sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very funny. So maybe you can include it in the blog post.
Will do. Awesome. Will do.
Okay, so who wrote and directed it?
So this episode was written by Charlie Hudson, and he's done work on Powers, the TV show, and not a whole lot of other writing stuff. He's done some stuff here and there, so a relative newbie to Gotham.
But not on Criminal Minds or Bones or any of the other things. Grimm? Nothing that the Powers That Be have worked on?
No, exactly, but this made up by the director, though.
Oh, okay. So let's see who directed it.
Yeah, it's directed by Rob Bailey, who's done work, you know, of course, on Gotham, but also Criminal Minds and Grimm.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, we made up for it there.
Exactly.
But I think Charlie did a great job on his first Gotham.
Yeah, I do, and I like the parallels that we get to see, and we'll discuss it when we get there, but the parallels between Jim and Lee. Mm-hmm. And so I really like those parallels and some other things that he brought into the episode. So, yeah.
I do too. Some really great ones, I think, as well. And also backstabbing, a lot of backstabbing in this episode as well, whether done maliciously or not.
Exactly.
And also some literary allusions, which I will mention in mere seconds. So why don't we give our rating?
Sounds good. I gave it 8.5. We're conspirators. We're not friends. We're conspirators.
Conspirators. And I give it 8.5 exclamations of fire bad, which is essentially an allusion to Mary, who wrote Mary Shelley's Frankenstein? Yeah. Did she write? Yeah. Frankenstein, the monster in Frankenstein, has a deathly fear of fire. Mm-hmm. And not unlike our own Butch / Solomon Grundy, who fell to the ground when Firefly did her little bursts of fire.
Yeah.
So it was a very Frankenstein-y type of moment there.
Definitely.
And it was kind of overt, But also, I thought it was a nice reference to kind of show that he was.
It was.
And especially since it was in front of Tabs, to show that he was remade from something else. I thought it was kind of that sort of Tabs needs to see that he is something that was put back together from bits and pieces of what was left of.
Yeah, definitely.
So at least that's what I got from that scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. And I love the picture you put in here. It's really
great. It'll be in the blog post.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. It is a picture of side by side James and Harvey. And then on the other side, it is Lee and not Oswald.
Ed
Nygma, yes. And my discussion titles are The A Story is Nero's Victory, which would be all of the underground fighting ring. The B story is Captain Crunched, which is, of course, James and Harvey. And the C story is Drawing on His Expertise, which is Martine and Oswald.
That's right.
So let's get the Oswald stuff out of the way. I found this interesting. I'm not quite sure where it fits in to this story, but it was definitely something that I was not put off by.
No, we get the whole point of Oswald is venting to Sophia again about, gloom, despair, agony on me.
Right.
And so she tells him that he needs something else and caresses his arm and says, chickens.
Right?
You need, she goes, you need a hobby outside the business. My dad had chickens.
Right. Very weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so instead of, he's mulling that over and he sees Martine getting bullied and about to torch the bully's bag. And he's like, no, don't do that. Don't know who it is. So he takes him under his wing and starts training him.
Under his little penguin wing. he's teaching him how to displace blame, how to be underhanded, essentially.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. And of course, Martine can't speak.
No, he can hear. He can make some noise, but he can't speak. Mm-hmm. And so he's drawing everything or writing things out on this pad and getting bullied. And so maybe that's he sees a little of himself in Martine and wants to kind of help him out and take him up as his hobby.
Right. Well, I do think he sees a lot in Martine, a lot of himself in Martine. He's a little smaller than the other boys, thinner. And right now, I think he feels like he's lost his voice, metaphorically. And he sees this boy that has lost his voice, literally.
Right.
And he's thinking, well, I can give him back his voice, and maybe that will help me to get back mine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the boy says something to the effect of, you're my friend, on the notepad, no, Oswald cannot allow this because friends equal bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tells him, no, we're co-conspirators, as you had in your rating. And, of course, he teaches him how to make friends with a big girl in his class. She's taller than all the other girls. And then he fakes getting a wedgie and blames it on his bullies, and the girl beats up the bullies for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Oswald is very approving of this, and they have a nice shared moment over it. It's so weird. But I also was very intrigued by the storyline. It didn't really go with the rest of the episode, except for the fact that he is betrayed by Ed, and Ed is also doing all this stuff to make fun of Oswald. But the kid part of it was, you know, kind of set apart from the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it was. And I think just having looked at the promo images for next week, that's going to lead into next week. But it's very interesting that he uses Martine kind of as a sounding board. And he says that Sophia gives this little talk to him and talks about being a friend and invites him to dinner. And he, thanks to his interaction with Martine, has been kind of broken out of kind of the web she's been weaving, and sees that she's a threat to him. And so this putting attention onto Martine has kind of, like he said, opened his eyes to see, you know, what's really going on, and avoid getting stabbed in the back. Right. So I think it was a very interesting point here that she doesn't yet know that he suspects her, but because of his interaction with Martine, he's been broken out of that.
Yeah, he's doubting, to say mm-hmm. the least. Yeah, I agree. And it was really interesting to watch, definitely. Kept me entertained through the part that wasn't the main storyline. Now we can choose between Nero's victory and Captain Crunch. Which one do you want to go to?
Let's do Captain Crunch.
Let's do this. Yeah. I'm heartbroken over this. I don't know about you.
Yeah, this section was so heartbreaking. I watched most of the episode in one sitting and then had to take a break and because of going to see a movie. But then I came back and watched that last 15 minutes. And it seemed like that last 15 minutes, especially with this storyline, just really hit so hard, because we see Jim being presented this captainship and not wanting to take it. And it's being basically said, okay, the mayor's pushing it on him. Sophia's pushing it on him. And he's really given no choice, because he has to go and do this bullet hole ceremony instead of Harvey being there. He's wanting Harvey to come along. He's only agreeing to go because he wants to be there to support his friend, because he wants his friend to get that respect back. And it's just so heartbreaking when he goes through that ceremony and realizes, you know, that Harvey's not coming. Yeah. And it's just heartbreaking that especially their scene in the office there at the end. Ugh. It was just so hard after we've gotten to know this group.
And then when he confronts Sophia at the end, oh, so bad. And she says, I got this for you. And we're partners. And he says, no, I stabbed my partner in the back tonight. And I'm like, oh. That just kills me.
The acting on Donald Logue's part has just been amazing this season.
Yeah.
As it has been throughout the series. But just he's sitting there in the chair and, you know, a little, you know, drunk, but talking about how, oh, you're going to tell me how to do my job now? Mm-hmm. And then that turn. And, oh, you're getting what you want. And it turns even then, because he's like, be careful, because you're going to have to pay for this.
Right.
You know, you may think that you got this on your own, but you're going to have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And oh, that still offering that advice of that, you know, there's nothing that's not gray in Gotham. And it's just heartbreaking, because he's been on the other side and not wanting that for Jim, and even probably protecting Jim for that for so long, especially in this climate, and then to be on the other side and be forced out, and then have to give, but still want to give Jim the advice because he cares for him. It was mm-hmm. so good on Logue's part.
And it just wrenched. The whole thing wrenched. And you know, number one, like you said, and I'm just going to repeat these real quick. He took it in order to keep James away from it, mm-hmm. right? He's still protecting him by warning him. And number three, he's only walking away because he has to.
Yeah.
And it's all for James, really. All mm-hmm. of it. And the picture that you picked, and you'll have to go look on the blog post, you guys, is James kind of contemplating, looking out the window, and he's got light on his face. And then Harvey off into the shadows in the back, looking back at James, warning him, mm-hmm. and just looking devastated for him. And thinking, I can almost see him thinking on his face, I don't know what I can do to help you at this point. You know, he's just looking like, I wish I could have spared you from this.
Yeah. And it was heartbreaking too, because you knew, we've heard how much Harvey cares for the GCPD and wanting to protect them from Penguin. And the fact of last week where he got those officers hurt and he shot one himself, and just how heartbreaking that is. And he just was struggling to come to terms with it, so he delegated it to Jim this week, and now, it's just heartbreaking. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, and that ceremony, as you were alluding to, was to give the officers that were hurt in a firefight, to give them a bullet. I guess it's the bullet they were shot with. Is that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you give them the bullet they were shot with, and it's kind of like an honor ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason Harvey didn't go is because he was the one who shot one of those officers. And he said, I didn't want to be the one giving that bullet to that officer. And, you know, when he says that to James, again, that's another turn of the wrench. It's just, yeah, I get that, why you wouldn't want to be there. But James, again, is saying, you know, that still would have been something for you to be there, you know.
Yeah, because he has been confronted at this point by both Sophia and the mayor about Harvey's fall, mm-hmm. you know, his just failings, mm-hmm. and how that somebody else needs to be in leadership, and it's, you know, it's better you than anybody else. But still, he's been defending Harvey. He's been standing up for him and wanting the best for Harvey, and seeing him not go, and when he could have won some back, even if they may have hated him, just so hard.
Yeah, it is. It was wonderful to watch, but also hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because the acting was amazing.
Yeah.
But then the acting was so amazing that it really hurt because it seemed so real. And one of the things that I've loved over the whole entire 3 years of this show is that relationship between the two of them. And now it's strained. It's probably damaged. It's probably one of the things that's going to tarnish Harvey. Mm. You know, is this going to be one of the things that turns him into that darker shade of gray that we know from the comics? You know, who knows? I don't know where they're going with him. Are they going to redeem him again and bring him back to what he was on the show, or are they going to turn him more towards the bad cop of the comics? Mm. I mean, either way, I trust them, but I'd prefer him to be the Harvey that we already know.
Right.
I trust them, and I trust Donal to do a good job no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here still. And the stuff that they did last night was just superlative. I mean, I couldn't have asked for better acting from these two guys against each other. And then right there at the end where he twists that knife into Sophia and he says, I stabbed my partner in the back. tonight. And then he just walks away from her. And then that look, that crestfallen look on Sophia's face when he turns and walks into his place alone.
Yeah, it's very interesting because she's been playing Penguin, and then she confronts Jim, really says, you knew what you were getting into, and thinking that she can, you know, make it all better. But he's really experienced so much that he just can't. He can't pull it back anymore with her. He can't pull her back.
Yeah, he's done with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He may have asked for help, but she came there unsolicited.
Mm-hmm.
He asked her father for help. She came unsolicited. He went along with it, and now he's seen what she's going to do and is not happy. So, I mean, I think that's where he sees himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's where I see what he's been doing, at least what the writers have been writing. And that's where he says, you know what? No, we're not partners. I don't like you. You're not coming in. This is over. Lose my number. And he just turns and gives her his back. And she is definitely hurt at that moment.
Yeah, she is. She's hurt because she's had to play one side, and I think she was looking forward to more romance with him and somebody that was more equal in her mind, and she's not getting that. And so it will be very interesting to see what the writers do with her character moving forward, because she's definitely not going to be in Penguin's camp as soon as he, you know, relays that he doesn't trust her. Right. And now she's not in Jim's camp. So she's going to have to form her own camp. And so it's going to be interesting.
Harvey?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only other person I can think of that she would go to. She's definitely not going to be in Oswald's camp. Not. She could try again with James, maybe. And this might make her James's enemy.
Mm.
You never know.
Yeah.
Or she could start working with the Sirens.
Now, that would be interesting to see. A lot of powerful ladies right there. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, can we segue right into that one? I didn't mean to do that, but we might as well. Narrow's victory.
There you go.
It's not just the Sirens, though. It starts with Ed and Butch, and he has gotten a flair for the theatrical going.
Mm-hmm.
He has gotten some treatments from Lee, yeah?
It could be, yeah. I believe he probably has had maybe one or two, but it's very interesting because we're dealing with, and we've talked the last couple of episodes about wrestlers. He's really become a hype man and a promoter.
Yeah.
And he's very much, you know, a showman now, playing the two roles, switching back and forth and getting more and more into it as the bouts go along. It's pretty cool.
I almost named the storyline Ed Nygman. But it's not all about him. So,
hey-o!
Right? But he's kind of Ed McMahon, right? I mean, he is definitely hyping things up. He is pretending to be Oswald. You know, he's got his hair slicked back under his hat, and he's got an umbrella, and he's doing all these kind of acting things and kind of making all the fight about what's happening in Gotham. And it's interesting, to say the least,
mm-hmm.
what he's doing down there. And Cherry is enjoying the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's bringing in money for her. And Butch is definitely a moneymaker for her. So even better. Because people always want to bet on the underdog.
Right.
Always. So they're always going to try and see, you know, is Butch going to fall this time? It's time for him to go down this time. So I'm sure Cherry's making a bundle on the whole thing. And Ed is dazzling the audience, so she's happy with that. Lee's patching people up right and left, so she's happy too. And Ed is fulfilling his end of the bargain. Lee's fulfilling hers. Things are going fine until, guess what? The sirens show up.
Yeah, but I wanted to bring up a point with the two of them. I enjoyed their interactions in this episode between Ed and Lee because of them calling each other out and then pulling back saying, no, neither one of us want to stick our necks out. And you see her, she's there to get the money for the clinic, but she's still there very reluctantly. She's constantly chugging from her flask. Mm-hmm. And they're both in a spot where she's calling him out and about riling the crowd up and it being dangerous. And he really doesn't fully realize what he's doing. I just love their interactions, and they're kind of at a stalemate until you, like you said, the sirens show up. They've been tasked by Oswald to bring Ed in, or else he'll make them pay.
Right. And I love that, you know, well, what do you do if we don't? Oh, you mean sick all my guys on you? You know, how about I won't sick all my guys on you? And they, of course, reluctantly agree to go after Ed, mm-hmm. you know, because they don't really have any reason to go after Ed. He's dumb, so he doesn't pose a threat.
Right.
At least the last thing they heard was that mm-hmm. he doesn't pose a threat. So they go after him. They manage to get him, which is funny because Tabs and Babs see Butch and they get distracted. So it's a little Selena that ends up grabbing Ed.
Did we have a job to do?
Right. I wasn't off getting distracted. I managed to actually catch the guy. So it was funny, but everything seems to come together here for this little band of misfits that, you know, Tabs actually sees Butch and realizes, oh my goodness, Butch is alive. I need to go to him, which confirms that she actually does have feelings, like real deep feelings for him.
Yeah, that was surprising because we have, during his fights, when Grundy was getting hit, he was having literally his brain was being jogged.
Yeah.
And he's getting this one memory of Tabitha kissing him.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these little times, but then he'll break out of it and go then rip the guy's arm off and hit the guy
right,
with it.
Right.
And the crowd chants, stop hitting yourself,
right.
is where we get the title.
Right.
But we end up having to have a battle between Tabitha and Grundy, the two champions, a narrows rules battle.
Mm-hmm.
And she has tried to snap him out of it. It's just not working. And she's forced to take the mace of hammers.
Right. It's Lucille, but with hammers instead of barbed wire. It's crazy.
Oh, and she hits him, and he remembers, and he's like, Tabitha?
Right.
And then she hits him again and knocks him out.
Right? And it's the rule of it reverses your brain damage, and then it reverses it again. It's another trope, by the way.
Exactly.
If you lose your memory by a hit on the head, you gain it back by getting hit on the head again. But then, of course, if you get hit again, it's gone again. So this is, unfortunately, he remembers right there in that last little minute, right after he gets hit, Tabitha, and he's very lucid. It's like he's Butch again, but then, you know, she swings again and out he goes. And you know, you just know he's not going to wake up and remember.
No.
He's going to be Solomon again.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, he and Tabs are not going to have a happy reunion anytime soon.
No.
And, of course, she didn't notice that his hand was just normal, even though she showed him her hand.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking that when she held up her hand like that, she was going to grab his and notice that it wasn't. It didn't have a scar.
Well, maybe she didn't, because last time he didn't even have a hand.
Right.
I mean, he had...
Yeah, but I thought for sure she was going to reach down and grab his hand, and she didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't do that. That would have been very effective to just show her grabbing his hand and looking at it like, you're not my Butch, you know? Right. I mean, I'm sure she realizes that he has two hands, but it would have been nice to actually see that on the screen. But yeah, they're not having a lover's reunion right now, at least. But Ed and Butch are still there. Cherry set up the whole gang. And that means Firefly showed up to take everyone out because that's an easy way for Oswald to have control, to take everyone out. And when Lee lets everyone know that Cherry set them up, then guess what? They knock Firefly out and Cherry is gone.
I loved it because Lee gives this line and then, you know, shoots the pack on Firefly's back.
Right.
And then Babs takes out Cherry. But then we get the scene of Lee checking on Grundy and Ed's making fun of her for the line she used. And she goes, I get melodramatic when I'm startled or something like that.
I know. I loved it.
And
the line she said was like really corny too.
It
was something like lights out Firefly or, you know, something like that. It was very funny. And then what Ed does is he repeats the line back to her, lights out Firefly, really? You know, something like that. And she says, oh, I get melodramatic when I'm in danger or, you know, something like that. It was a very funny exchange. And then right after that exchange, she says, so what's with all of them? And she's looking around at all the people outside of the ring and they're all just staring.
Yeah. I was wondering, why are they all still here?
Right.
And then,
but Ed explains, right?
Yeah. And she's still oblivious. And I was too. And she's like, well, you know, you're in charge now, but because he said, I'm supposed to be the stupid one. And, you know, he lays it out. You've been stitching up their fighters. You've been healing their kids. You killed the queen. You slayed the fire breather.
Yep.
And you're in charge.
Yep. And what's her? He said they're waiting for your next command.
They're waiting for something give them something to cheer for.
Right. Exactly. And she says, drinks around the house. And they all cheer, of course. And he says, good call. So, yeah, I guess that's her taking over. So she's going to be the new ringleader, I guess. Literally ringleader.
Yeah.
So she'll be the boss down there. And does that make her maybe going to be an honorary siren?
I don't know. It's very interesting. She's over that area of the Narrows, which we've heard Babs is not too happy about coming to. So it may be that, you know, Babs is like, oh, you handle it over here and we'll handle this side or whatever. I don't know. A reluctant partnership.
Yeah, maybe. They may just, you know, agree to have their own territory and all that kind of thing. But Tabitha is definitely going to want to come over there and see what's happening with Butch / Grundy.
But I love the parallel here between you have both Lee and Jim being forced into leadership when neither of them really want that role and neither of it wanted it in that way. And they're both forced into that and having to take it up for the greater good. And so I really enjoyed that parallel in this episode.
I agree. And I think they're both in a position where they have no idea what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to see next episode. Although I don't know how much we'll get into that because Professor Pig is back.
That's right.
Hold on. Let's see. Professor Pig is back next episode. Yeah, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got everything.
I think so.
We didn't have any Bertrand. We did have a Lucius sighting.
Yeah, that was nice. So Lucius does give us some information on Pig that the crime scene leave no definitive clues. So there's nothing at the scenes of Pig's crime that would give the GCPD insight into who he is and give them leads into where to find that. So it just
Which Harvey says, kind of a lead in itself.
Yeah, yeah. Harvey says he's crazy, but he's crafty. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So he's doing something to cover his tracks, which is, like I said, it's kind of a lead in itself. Mm-hmm. You have to wonder, you know, what is he doing to cover his tracks? So you work from there, I guess.
Yeah.
And try to figure things out.
But it was good to see Fox.
It was. I love seeing Lucius. We need to see more of him. We have already gotten a bit more, the fact that he made Bruce's suit.
Mm-hmm.
And the suit is not gone for good, thank goodness. But I'm hoping he'll be back a little bit more to help Bruce train or do whatever he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see him back again next episode, shall we?
Indeed.
Cross my fingers. But I think that might be it.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about another GSM show.
Yeah. So we got some very interesting news this week. We got a picture of the new Doctor and the new TARDIS. So going along with that, we'll play you a promo for Don't Blink. Or will we? All right. Hang on one sec.
Sure. Well, I do have to say that she's adorable in that outfit.
I like aspects of it. I like aspects of the outfit, but not the whole thing together. But I kind of left that on the Don't Blink page.
Did you?
I think she's very cute in it.
All right.
Doctor Who fans, sci-fi aficionados, and general supporters of time travel the world over, after listening to this podcast, please check out our fellow Golden Spiral Media podcast devoted to the hit BBC show Doctor Who, hosted by us,
David Ward and Wayne Henderson.
And whether you're a new fan or an old hunk of coal like me, this is the show for you.
And since the 10th incarnation of the Doctor advised us to never blink, David, you entitled this GSM Doctor Who podcast, Don't Blink.
That's exactly right. So join us and other Don't Blink listeners on Apple Podcasts or Android.
And of course, at don'tblinkpodcast.com. And remember,
don't blink. Don't even blink.
That's right. They do a great job of covering it. I've been a Whovian since I was very little, watching it on PBS. So it's always fun to have some fellow Whovians break things down and give their insight to the episodes. And I am looking forward to the Christmas special, but then it's going to be the long drought until next fall.
Yep. It's going to be like almost a year. It's going to be difficult. I know.
Yeah.
I know. And it'll be our last Peter Capaldi, right?
Yeah, we'll get the last episode at Christmas with him and the first Doctor and the new Doctor. So it should be interesting.
Yep. Now, I did see an article where it compared the new TARDIS to the last TARDIS. So Peter Capaldi's TARDIS to the new TARDIS. And it is a little different.
Yeah, it is. And we've got, I believe, an image and a breakdown of that up on the Don't Blink Facebook page. There are some differences there, a little more old school, a little darker, maybe.
A little more muted. Mm-hmm. The sign is the opposite colors.
Yeah.
It's transposed from black and white to white and black.
Mm-hmm.
If you can figure that out. If you know what I mean by that. And the trim is a little different, and the handle's on the other side, and the little sticker is gone from the other door.
Yeah.
And the window's different. There's six panels instead of just a T with the other two panels out.
Yeah. And the light on top is different.
It's different. So. Yeah. Yeah. I'm such a nerd. I'm sorry. And again, here we go. Hold on. Where are we?
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now?
Okay. Yeah, we're Whovian. Sorry. Yeah, and I've been a fan since the Fourth Doctor. So I think we're allowed to talk about it for a minute or two.
Definitely.
And we do have a little piece of feedback from Todd. Hi, Todd.
Yeah.
And he says, did I miss something? I saw Alexander Siddig's name in the credits for last night, but I didn't see him anywhere in the ep. Cool Butch Tabby stuff. Everything at the Fight Club was better than the other storylines, IMO. Well, I don't know that I'd pull those out as the best. I think that it was a pretty well-balanced episode. That's just me. I mean, you said IMO, so I'm saying IMO.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as Alexander goes, he's a regular in this season, so his name is in the credits regardless if he's there. Kind of like we had several episodes that didn't have Lee, but Monica's name was in the titles.
Correct. You'll probably see his name in every episode this season, even if he's not on. Mm-hmm. Or they may, if they decide not to bring him back, they may take it off after the winter hiatus.
Yeah,
when they change the titles. Because right now the titles are the same at the beginning.
Yeah.
They may change them.
Yeah, it may be instead of A Dark Knight, it may be a new title, a new arc.
Right.
So we'll see.
And then if they rename that, they may take his name. I don't know. But he's supposedly a regular. He may be coming back. So if he does, then his name will still be on. You know, as long as there are Lazarus Pits, Katie Bar the Door, No Holds Barred, he could come back. I'm sorry. Unless he is ground to dust and scattered to the winds out in the universe, he could come back.
And unless Bab loses his soul that's trapped in her.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. There's no telling what can happen there. So.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to give us feedback.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. And follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. Where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Hello, welcome back, everyone.
Yes, indeed. And we've got some news. So next week's episode is A Dark Knight, Let Them Eat Pie. And the description is as follows. Professor Pig continues to torment Gotham City, involving Jim Gordon whenever possible.
Of course.
Go ahead.
I said, of course he's going to torment Jim. Yep.
Sophia and Penguin get ready for a fundraiser for the orphanage, and things don't go as planned when Professor Pig shows up as chef. Meanwhile, Bruce's partying gets in the way of his relationship with Alfred and the all-new A Dark Knight Let Them Eat Pie episode of Gotham, airing Thursday, November 16th, 8, 9 Central on Fox. And it's very interesting. I said last week we get a break for Thanksgiving. They're going to play episode one of the season on Thanksgiving. And then we get a episode the next week. And I haven't seen if the last one is going to be exactly the next week, you know, so it'll be the first two Thursdays in December, but it looks like it.
Okay.
Still haven't heard, you know, when we're going to come back in the new year, but it's coming up.
So it may just be we get two episodes in December and then off for winter break.
Yeah, that's what I think, because if we get two episodes in December, that takes us through episode 11. So yeah, that would seem like a good time to break to me.
Yep.
But we'll see.
Yeah. And I wanted to say I'm looking forward to the return of Professor Pig.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's gross. I mean, he is, right?
Yeah, he is.
And he's going to be the chef. So can we expect maybe some barbecue? What do you think? Well, you know, what is he going to do with the rest of the pig? He's got all those leftovers, you know. At least he uses all of the pig, you know. We got to say something about it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I can't wait. Yeah. All right. And with that, I guess we're going to end, and I'd like to end by reading what is on my graphic. Shall I do that?
Sure.
And the angel said unto him, stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. But lo, he could not, for the angel was hitting him with his own hands. See you next week, guys.
See ya.